On ABC Radio Hobart, this is Drive.
Music in the shopping centres, in the supermarkets, and if you go into some clothing stores, you'll hear it blaring out. Are you prepared to get up and dance? Does it make you want to dance? Does it make you want to spend more? Is it something you even notice? How carefully do you even evaluate what it is that you hear? There's been some research that's being undertaken about the spaces that you're in. So you've got no choice but to be there because you've got a task to carry out. But how we feel about it, how we negotiate it, and how we respond to it is proving interesting. There's some research on the conversation that you can have a look at. But I thought we could explore it a bit further with Dr. Glenn Hodges, who's Deputy Head of Music at the Conservatorium of Music. Glenn, good afternoon.
How are you doing, Louise?
I'm doing well. We all know there's music that makes us want to get up and dance, but I guess we don't normally expect to find it in a shopping centre, do we?
No, that's true, but it's so funny that I was approached this afternoon to talk about this because it wasn't just half a week ago that I was in a supermarket and found myself tapping along with some good old favourites. And I'm a compulsive tapper, so if I've got keys in my hand, I'll jingle them on beats 2 and 4. Or
do you think some time passes before you realise what you're doing, Glenn?
Yeah. Sometimes someone will, nudge me. My daughter or my wife will kick me and say, "Dad, stop tapping your foot," or whatever I'm doing, or, you know, tapping the top of their head in time with the music, one of those kind of things. But, yeah, so usually I cotton on to it eventually.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because we personally use music to achieve a state that we want, to either relaxation or energy or just something to get us through the house cleaning. So it probably makes sense, doesn't it, that institutions would also use it to make us behave differently.
Yeah, totally. I think that's exactly what they're trying to do, obviously, or they wouldn't waste the money that they pay for copyright to have music, recognise music in public places or those kind of commercial spaces. But, I mean, I guess, you know, the other side is that every now and then you just like peace and quiet. And it's that balance of, you know, at what point do we have the right to push back against the intrusion, I guess.
Mm. And some of it is very loud. I mentioned a fashion shop earlier, and perhaps I'm just getting old as well, but I think we've all walked past the boutique where the noise is just blaring out, isn't it?
Totally. Or eating spaces and, you know, that sort of thing where, you know, totally inappropriate levels of music and often exacerbated by bad acoustics. I mean, one of my great hates is going somewhere where you want a quiet evening to talk with family or friends and enjoy a good meal, and the music is not only too loud, but too loud for the space. So there's low ceilings, hard surfaces, tiled floors, all the rest of it, and a chatter in the room which raises the decibel levels to start with. And then they turn the music up over the top of it to cover it, and you can't hear yourself talk. And that gets to be very annoying, I find.
The beat as well. Sometimes there's a bass level that seems to intrude without it necessarily even being the noise. But I don't know, you can feel it. Would that be right, do you think, Glenn?
Yeah, totally, absolutely. And I guess, you know, all this comes down to, I think, obviously, aside from commercial interests of places that believe that, you know, obviously the right kind of music is going to encourage people to buy more or whatever it is, I think a lot of it comes down to some good taste and some aesthetic sense. But I'm afraid that in some places, and it's not pervasive, but, you know, it happens often enough to be annoying that you wonder whether the person in control of the volume knob actually has any sense of the aesthetic value of what they're adding to the environment.
I think you're right. Familiarity is interesting. You mentioned that at the supermarket that you were singing along and tapping along to the songs. And I guess if you pick a demographic that you're aiming at and you pick the right thing, you're probably going to hit the nail on the head, do you think?
Yeah, oh, totally. I mean, that is very important. But there are also, aside from that, there are also, I think, types of tunes and classics, if I could put it in those terms, that, you know, even if the person it's not their music, they will recognise it from mum and dad's record collection or, you know, their uncle's record collection. You know, there's that kind of music as well, which kind of it has a little bit of a wider spread, if I can put it that way.
There are train carriages now, particularly in the UK and other European countries, where train travel is a lot more common, where you have quiet carriages away from mobile phones. Do you think there might be some appeal in quiet shops and centres for those of us who want a bit of peace and quiet when we do go shopping?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like I say, it's a case of, you know, horses for courses, and sometimes it's great, sometimes it's not so great, depending on your mood and what you want to do yourself, but also depending on the people or person controlling the acoustic environment. Sometimes, as I said, the taste is not all that good.
Mm. Do you think we have trouble processing too many different sources of noise? So we've got our own thoughts. Someone's walking alongside us, talking to us. We're listening to the music, which could be at any kind of a different level. How do we go inside our head as a music teacher when it comes to processing all that noise?
Yeah, look, it does get conflicting after a while. And I've got, again, a personal example of that kind of thing where it gets to, moves from the sublime to the ridiculous as far as examples go. I was doing a gig years ago, and I was in a, and it was part of a festival. So I was a sort of a featured artist in a restaurant environment as part of a festival that was across the town, having a performance environment in a number of eating places, but it was one of those loud, clashy kind of noisy acoustic environments, and far too many people crammed into a small place with low ceilings, et cetera, et cetera. And I was playing, doing some solo guitar and I think maybe even some singing, I forget now, but through a very small PA. And the restaurateur came up to me at one point and said, oh, look, can you just turn it down a little bit? And I said, yeah, no problems. And I turned it down a little bit, and he came up to me, a song or two later and said, oh, look, it's still just a little bit, a little bit loud. Can you turn it down a little bit? I said, no problems, easy. And turned it down a bit more. Well, this happened another probably two times, and eventually I turned everything off and just pretended to play and sing, and he was smiling at me from the other side. So, I mean, it's a case of, there's too much going on. So, please, don't blame the musician and don't put somebody in that position where they've got to compete with all that sound and still create the impression that you somehow think you want,
Maybe this is why online shopping is becoming more popular, perhaps.
Well, then you can pick your own music and turn it up to the volume that you want, I guess.
Exactly, yeah, and sure. Dance if you want to without embarrassment. Glenn Hodges. Always good to talk to you. Thanks for your time today.
No worries at all, Louise.
Thank you. That's Dr. Glenn Hodges. He's the Deputy Head of Music at the Conservatorium of Music.
On ABC Radio Hobart, this is Drive.